Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 9th, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. I really do mean this, folks. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all these things at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And remember, you can send prayer requests by United States Postal Service also, and by email, even with just a thing that says, call me back, or you can have it put the prayer request in it. I'm sorry. Put the prayer request in it. We'll print it out, and we'll take that or the one you mail to me in the mail and anoint it with oil, lay hands on it, pray over it, and send it back to you. Anyway, and we'll do this, of course, with no requests for solicitations for donations. As my wife says, we just lose your address. We're not going to keep bugging you for money. Anyway, we're our national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. And right now, it's ABR is live on YouTube. So we're right now live on YouTube. We're also on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Jerusalem, Israel, Toronto, Canada, Vancouver, Canada, Lusaka, Zambia, probably said that one wrong, Shanghai, China, Beijing, China, Moscow, Russia, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Las Vegas, Nevada, San Francisco, California, Boston, Massachusetts, Columbus, Ohio, Plano, Texas, Greensboro, North Carolina, and of course Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. Now, let's not, and this week, Wichita has a competitor into how many people have been listening, and it's been coming up the last 2 or 3 weeks, and that's, of all places, Washington, D.C. That's right. Them good old folks over there in Washington, D.C. seem to be listening to our radio program. Imagine that. Now, a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, because we've got a really good subject tonight and a really great author. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to understand the truth, hear the truth, lift the veil from their eyes. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, I believe it's one of the most misunderstood prophecies in the Bible. And that's the prophecy about Mystery Babylon. Yes, many think that America is indeed the end time Babylon. But mostly you'll find the roots of this, at least since the 90s. If you dig down to these roots, you'll find that a lot of people believe this because they heard a man that called himself a prophet, but many others did, called Dmitry Dudeman, saying an angel told him that America would burn by Russia and that America was Mystery Babylon. Now, today we look at the Bible, what it says about this, because really the two just doesn't add up. Anyway, tonight's guest is Joel Richardson. He's a husband, a father, committed to pro-life and adoption movements. He is an artist, a human rights activist, New York Times best-selling author, internationally recognized speaker, and recognized expert on Bible prophecy in the Middle East. This is very important to what message we're going to have tonight. Joel's heart is thoroughly missional. That means he not only he wrote the book Islamic Antichrist, but his heart is to see the Muslim people saved. So he is very missional, with a deep love for the Muslims and the people of the Middle East. His books are When a Jew Rules the World, Middle East Beast, Islamic Antichrist. He co-authored a book called God's War on Terror, Islam Prophecy in the Bible with Walid Shubat. He also did the must-see documentary, End Times Eyewitness, The Global Jesus Revolution, The Battle for Jerusalem. Really, this list could go on and on because he did many other DVDs on the end times. If you go to his website, Joel's Trumpet, and check it out, you'll find that. But I really implore you to go to his weekly thing that he does, and it's a video program called The Underground. So follow the underground, and tonight let's get him on because we're going to talk about his newest and most accurate book called Mystery Babylon, Unlocking the Bible's Greatest Prophetic Mystery. Are you there with me, Joel? Hello?
How you doing, my friend?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We must have had a little delay or something, but that life goes that way with Skype, I guess. But anyway, great book, but this was a hard book to write, wasn't it, Joel?
Well, you know, I've actually been working on this book for about 11 years. I actually started writing it years ago, shortly after I wrote Islamic Antichrist, and I just kept putting it down. I just felt like the Lord was saying that it's not yet time, and I would pick it up for a bit, and then he would tell me to lay it back down. And so it was finally last year that I finally felt just a sudden urgency from the Lord to go ahead and finish this out. And I think the timing is just right with the political climate, all the things that are emerging in the earth right now. So I think it's a very, it's not just a study of biblical prophecy, not just a study of Revelation 17 and 18, but some very relevant things that are taking place in the earth, affecting Washington, affecting the nations of the earth.
Well, Mystery Babylon has a, you know, is, while it's a huge mystery, of course, but it is one of the biggest pieces to the end time puzzle, isn't it, not?
Yeah, it is, and, you know, I kind of joke and I call it the final frontier of Bible prophecy, because, you know, you deal with the Antichrist, you know, all these different things, but you know, what you believe with regard to Mystery Babylon is critical to your larger sort of end-time worldview. And, you know, it's funny, as you said, there's a lot of people today that believe that the United States is Mystery Babylon. There's a lot of different views out there that it's Jerusalem or that it's Rome or that it's the Vatican or the Illuminati or, you know, any number of different opinions have been very popular, not only today but down through history. You know, but this is not just, you know, some obscure prophecy. This has very real pastoral implications. If indeed the United States is Mystery Babylon, as there's quite a few books now that have been coming out the past several years claiming this, well, it says in the prophecy, flee Babylon, leave Babylon, get out. If you're a believer, get out. And so, you know, there's actually some that have fled the United States because of that. Now, listen, if someone wants to move to another country because they like living in exotic lands or if they want to be a missionary, I think that's wonderful. But if you're fleeing this country because you've wrongly interpreted a prophecy, well, you know, that's, you know, God forbid you get to the end of your life and you find out you've been baking cakes for the Lord your whole life and then you find out he doesn't like cakes. You know, I want to discern what the scriptures say rightly and then apply it rightly. And so this is a very relevant passage.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of comments on what you just said. You know, I came across, you know, Mystery Babylon to be America in the early 90s when I was working with another ministry. And I met this man that for all intents and purposes, everybody said he was a prophet. And, you know, he did, I mean, he could answer questions that you hadn't even asked and so on and so forth. And, you know, so he was very convincing. But now, and so a lot of these people that are writing books right now, originally, because I know these people, you know, that's what I do is interview people. And I know these people and I see where they came from. And they originally got their idea about Mystery Babylon being Mystery America from this individual. Now, I'm not questioning how much of the Lord's work this man did or whatever. But now, after having studied the books that you've written and studied on my own over and over the Word, then, you know, it really doesn't add up. And I've even interviewed people, Joel, on this radio program that moved to out of the United States. And I interviewed them from Costa Rica and talk about, you know, how they had to leave and everything because this is Mystery Babylon. It's going to be blown up. Well, they left behind family and all kinds of things, basically broken lives. And one man that has been gone for many years, he just passed away in another country. And so I don't want to talk about the man that I believe a lot of this came from. We need to get to the truth because biblically it just doesn't add up. And so that's why I'm so anxious for you to break open this subject and help the people. Back to you.
Yeah, let me actually touch on this because there are so many that are convinced. One of the working principles that I had going into this book is if you go to a store and you're going to buy a glove and you try on a glove and three of the fingers fit absolutely perfectly, you don't buy the glove unless all five fingers fit. You know, it's not okay that only two fingers fit wonderfully. And this is the case with the United States. There are elements of the prophecy that seem to reflect the present reality in the United States. So I understand that some people go, this looks like New York City or, you know, this sort of thing. I understand that. It's a Mystery Babylon, the Harlot Babylon, is a powerfully economically corrupting influence. It corrupts the kings of the earth. People say, well, look, it's Washington, it's Wall Street, this sort of thing. I understand that. But the problem is there are some other glaring problems that simply don't fit. One of which is that not only is this woman an economically corrupting influence, she is a spiritually religious corrupting influence. The United States, no matter how you cut it, does not represent a religion. Mystery Babylon is not simply something like materialism or humanism. It's a very literal religion that is specifically responsible for the shed blood of the saints throughout the earth. I mean, she is the primary entity responsible for the shed blood of God's holy people. You simply can't say that that defines the United States. The United States today, for all of its faults, is still the greatest missionary sending capital of the earth, sending 80% of Protestant missionary force, spending 80% of the global Protestant missions budget every year. You know, the prophecy says that when Mystery Babylon is destroyed, and she'll be destroyed forever, that all of the saints are to rejoice. Now, if the United States was destroyed today, do you think it would be right for the people of God throughout the earth to rejoice? Is this truly the greatest, most despicable, corrupting, you know, harlot in the earth? Or are there other entities in the earth which would far supersede or surpass the United States? And I would argue there most certainly are. So that just touches on some of the problems with the United States. Again, you know, listen, there's folks out there that, you know, are I'm friends with, that I respect and appreciate, that believe these things. However, I simply don't think it aligns with the text. The realities in the earth and the biblical text simply do not align.
Well, after, you know, when I first, back in the 90s, you know, You know, I've did much more Bible study since then, you know, and over have read the Word and been exposed to more but a lot of these Bible, I'm more of a literalist now, you understand what I'm saying? When I read the Bible, I'm like you. If it says Israel, it means Israel, okay? If it says, a certain part of the world, it means that part of the world. I don't substitute. In order to get to this place, and that's much like they came up with, you know, with the Vatican and Rome and all these different things being the Antichrist, is because they substituted words and said, oh, that doesn't mean Israel, that means this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right, right. You know, what I do in the beginning of the book is I actually walk through the history of all the different interpretations. And, of course, the earliest Christians did look to the city of Rome. And it can be argued that not only in the Bible, but in some of the first century Jewish apocalyptic works, Jewish and Christian, the Jews and the Christians of that first century thought that Rome, they referred to Rome, in fact, as Babylon. And so this actually forms sort of the basis for my approach to identifying Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, again, it's mystery. It's a spiritual reality. It is essentially something that has migrated down through history. And what I mean by that is that historical Babylon, the city of Babylon, is the prototype. That's why it's called Mystery Babylon, the Great Babylon. But by the first century, Rome really was the new Babylon. And so what Babylon represents, it is essentially the stronghold of Satan in the earth. This is the spiritual capital of satanic religion. And it's, as I said, both the financial and the spiritual capital of Satan in the earth at any given time. At one time, it was Babylon versus Jerusalem. Later, it was Nineveh versus Jerusalem. In the first century, it was Rome versus Jerusalem. But all of these things are mere prototypes of the last days Babylon. And today, in these last days, the beast empire of our day, the pagan satanic empire of our day, is the Islamic Empire. Yeah, and so the question is, what is the spiritual and financial capital of the Islamic world? And that is the question that leads to my conclusion, which is to say that Mystery Babylon is, in fact, the city of Mecca, the single greatest city of idolatry that mankind has ever produced in human history, and in a more broad sense, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which is far and away the single greatest source of financial. It is the financial and ideological womb of the most violent, radical, anti-Christ religion that mankind has ever known.
Yeah, amen. I know about Saudi Arabia. I know about Mecca. And I haven't been able to get to that chapter yet. I just got the book a couple days ago. But I wanted to skip right to it, but I didn't want to do that. Anyway, so tell us about it. Take us into it slow. I mean, everybody has heard so much about America and everything else. If you would tonight, give us an explanation.
Okay, so as I said, I just introduced it. Now, first of all, as I said, we have to have these two elements, the religious, the spiritual, and the economic and financial. She is a corrupter of the kings of the earth on both counts. If we lose one or the other, we don't have the full picture of Mystery Babylon. And again, you know, she is initially described as this harlot, this prostitute, and she's also a queen. It's a very strange picture. She's a prostitute queen. And then, you know, of course, this is all metaphorical. This is the symbolic portion of the prophecy. She's holding a gold cup, and the Bible is incredibly graphic in this sense. It says, in her cup is the filth of her prostitution, and it's mixed with the blood of the saints, and she's drunk on this foul mixture. Now, what is harlotry? What is spiritual harlotry? Well, in biblical symbolism, this is simply idolatry. It is false worship. And so she's referred to in verse 1, chapter 17, as the great whore, the great harlot. She is the greatest of all harlots. Now, later she's referred to, it's actually written right across her forehead, as Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. Now, these two statements are what are called appositional. That means they're basically synonyms. They're saying the same thing. Now, what many Protestants have done is they've seen this phrase, the mother of all harlots, and they've interpreted it primarily to mean that there are many little whores, that she is the mother of many little harlot daughters, so to speak. She's a whore and all of her daughters are whores. But in my opinion, this is really a classic misreading of a clearly an Eastern phrase. When it says the mother of all harlots, it is simply saying she is the greatest. This is no different. Right. I use the example of Saddam Hussein, who said, Americans come over here, you know, early 90s, it's going to be the mother of all battles. Or,
yeah,
you know, when they struck gold out in California, it's the mother load. This is the big mama. So when it says the mother of all, and it's Babylon the Great, they both mean the same thing. She is the greatest, most significant false religion that mankind has ever produced. Now, again, going back to Mecca, this is the historical womb of Islam. It was out of Mecca. It was out of this pagan city that Muhammad started his religion. It burst forth into the Middle East in a very brief period of time. The ancient heart of the early Christian church was ripped out. All of the great missionary sending cities of the ancient church, Antioch, Ephesus, Alexandria, Jerusalem, the seven churches of Revelation, they were very quickly conquered by the Islamic hordes. And this was different than the conquering of the Roman Empire. You know, this was decimation of cities, marching away of 30,000, 60,000 sex slaves back to Mecca. You know, it was very, very similar to what we see with ISIS today. So first you have the historical, Mecca is the historical womb of Islam. But today, specifically, you know, again, there's many forms of Islam. There's Iranian Islam, you know, from out of Iran. There's
right.
Wahhabi Islam. That's specifically Saudi Arabian Islam. Sometimes it's called Salafism. And when we look at groups like Al-Qaeda, groups like ISIS, groups like Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, Abu Sayyaf in the Philippines, all these different radical groups, they are all Salafi or Wahhabi-influenced groups, which is to say that today they find their ideological and financial support from the Saudi royal family, from the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And so not only is Saudi Arabia the historical womb of Islam, today it is the womb of the most, as I said, radical, violent, antichrist form of Islam that we've ever known.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's some things that I know about it that I'm just dying to wait to hear you say. But let's go over to, we got about 2 minutes before we have to go on break. So let's switch over to your website for a minute and we'll come back and you can tell us some more about it. I'm looking at your website right now and I'm looking at your latest episode of The Underground. What is the sign of September 23rd, 2017? Is this something we should be pointing everybody to?
Well, this is something that the YouTube world is blowing up over, and I essentially explained that I debunk it. And, you know, this is not to attack any of the teachers that are teaching this, but I walk through and show that it's simply not a sign. And, in fact, I'm going to do another show, a follow-up show, to really lay out the details. A lot of people weren't satisfied with my first show. I'm going to lay out the details as to why this is a false expectation. And,
well, you're a great detail man. You're a great detail man. Amen. So that got us to the underground. So tell the folks what the underground is, and is it come out every weekly? You got about 30 seconds, and we'll go to break. Oh yeah, joelstrumpet.com. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, joelstrumpet.com, and like you said, yeah, about every week. I've got about a 30-minute, webcast called The Underground. I'm dealing with all sorts of different issues. I say, the testimony of the biblical prophets, current events, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, how all of these things relate to you and me, essentially anything I want to talk about, but that's usually the gist of it. So, joelstrumpet.com.
Yeah, amen. And for the record, Joel, any of your books that I've loaned around to the other people in the mission church or whatever, you know, I win the argument when I give them your book and they read it, because you're a great details guy. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more from Joel Richardson and Mystery Babylon.
Behold,
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And I'm so glad to be here with you tonight with Joel Richardson. But before we get back to Joel, I want to give you a little bit of, about what we do and maybe how you can help. We have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, Messiah's Branch does, and we're coming up in June. We'll be starting our 18th year of helping the homeless and poor in Wichita. Now, you know, this is not the easiest of ministries because, you know, so many churches, you know, have outreaches and they want to send people to Mexico and South America and to the Middle East and all over the place, and that seems to be the thing to do. But so many, it's just so hard to get donations to help people that are literally our citizens right outside the door. Many of these are pregnant women and vets, and, you know, it's heartbreaking to see our own citizens there, let alone people act like some of these people have the plague, and they don't. They're just like me and you. Most Americans are only a couple of paychecks away from being homeless themselves. And so, usually through no fault of their own, these people are in the street. Yeah, you say, well, there's drug addicts and blah, blah, blah. Well, there's a small percent are there that way. But most of them are not. And the biggest percentage of those that are drug addicts or maybe alcoholics got that way after they hit homeless because they were trying to cope with impossible situations. It's just like women. We help women and try to get them to a place of safety before they get snatched off the street and into human trafficking. I've seen beautiful girls just disappear. I've seen other young teenage ladies that have now, like 6, 7, 8 years later, have their whole lives have been wrecked. They went through everything from almost being murdered to being raped to being pregnant and all these different things and forced into prostitution to where, and but through prayer and help, they have now changed their life around. And we're there for those. We're there for the people. You know, I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands of people we've helped over these years. Because like I say, we're coming up on 18 years of doing this. Why did I pick it? I really didn't pick it. I was doing another thing. I was starting a Messianic church. But the Father kept me up all night long and impressed me that I was to feed the poor, feed the poor, feed the poor. And he wouldn't leave me alone until I committed to it. And I got a confirmation within like the next day or so, a donation of $20,000 worth of dehydrated foods to start it. But we don't have time to go into all that. But we really do need your help. And we are prophecy radio programs. And you know, since Trump got elected, for whatever reason, people are now thinking everything's all right in part. And so donations have dropped. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Remember, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And if you don't wish to help with the poor and you're enjoying this radio program, or I pray that you're getting educated by this program, notice I call a program and not a show because a program teaches, that you would consider donating to airtime because this ministry sells nothing absolutely whatsoever. So pray about it, and let's get back to something really important. We're talking with Joel Richardson about his book, Mystery Babylon, and he's starting to tell us about who he believes it is. Are you there with me, Joel?
I'm here, Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm glad. And by the way, thank you for your friendship over the years. I've been talking to you on radio for a very long time, and so I do appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you. I always look forward to it. I always appreciate you, and I very much appreciate what you're doing as well. You know, years ago, I was involved for a few years, several years, ministering to the homeless. And, you know, it's, as you said, it's easy for people to judge them and this sort of thing. But, you know, so many are, as you said, vets, you know, just people that have fallen on hard times and so on and so forth. And I find that when I'm with folks like that, the Lord ministers to me in a profound way, because I think, you know, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, you know, it's the fear of the Lord. For me, the beginning of the revelation of who we are in terms of our weakness, our, if I can use the term, wretchedness, that is the beginning of wisdom. You can't relate to other people rightly until you've come to terms, you know, with the greatness of how much you've been saved. Jesus said, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And so I know that your ministry is very dear to the Lord's heart, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, amen. I really appreciate that. And, you know, there is nothing like, I can be in the worst mood possible, and I can just set foot on the ground of the mission church, and my heart just changes completely. And, you know, I've seen so many real miracles, Joel. I mean, you know, we've seen so many real miracle prayers, because the people, they believe by faith that they'll happen. And now after 18 years, we have a record of it. And so we have people that come from all over the city asking for just simply prayers. And they're not all just homeless people. We also minister to the poor, but there's also other people that come that are not in any kind of classification of that, but they heard about prayers, and so they come by faith. It's nothing that I do. It's just that their faith, believing that their prayer is going to be heard by the Father. But anyway, let's get back to you and this book. You just started to tell us about Saudi Arabia and Mecca, and you really got my attention.
Yeah, so essentially we began with, you know, the geographic center that the city of Mecca, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia in the broader sense, this really is the spiritual heart of the Islamic world. And of course, Islam is the reigning beast empire of our day. Again, we've had Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the seventh empire of Revelation 17, the seventh head of the beast, if you will. It's the Islamic kingdom. And then, of course, that last head comes back as the sort of last days revival. Well, what is the capital? What is the capital of this last days empire? It's not Rome. It's not Jerusalem. It's not Nineveh. It's not Babylon. It's, as I said, the city of Mecca and the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Now, let's touch on the financial corruption, because this is an essential side of it. This is really the part of the book that, even if you disagree with my thesis, and I want to be clear, I don't present this in an overly dogmatic way. I simply look at all of the different interpretations. I weigh their strengths, weigh their weaknesses, and my conclusion is that this is the best case. And I think those that give it an honest chance will, I think the majority will agree. Now, that said, even if you do disagree, the information in here about the Saudi corruption of Washington is something that every Christian needs to be aware of, because this is one of the primary factors that is driving what's unfolding in Washington and American foreign policy, and this is one of the most least understood topics, I think, among Christians today. So, you know, very briefly, the single greatest lobby, the single greatest financial corruptor, the single greatest influence in Washington is a single family. It's a foreign government, the Saudi royal family. Now, you can name any other entity, the World Bank, this, that, the other thing, George Soros. There is no one, no entity, no nation, no kingdom that has put as much money directly into the back pockets of American presidents, senators, leaders, major American media moguls, you name it. And we're not talking about just a few million here or there. I mean, this should be something that every American has been up in arms about. You know, of course, we knew Hillary Clinton had over $30 million had been donated to her and her husband just from the Saudi royal family, roughly $100 million from a larger, you know, Gulf Arabs.
Right.
And you go, okay, well, you know, we're not surprised the Clintons are corrupt. Well, let's go back to the Bushes, because this is not just a Democrat problem. Whether it's George W. or George H.W. Bush, the father or the son, not just $30 million, $1.5 billion between the two times in office. And, you know, this is not something that I'm just making up. This is something that has been documented by all sorts of journalists, multiple books. I've got a lot of documentation in the book. $1.5 billion. Now, I mean, just think about this, because this can easily sound like conspiracy theory or something. Think about this. Why does a foreign government give somebody, an American president, $30 million, $1.5 billion? Now, with the Bushes, it's most often done much more sly. You know, it's through friendly loans and, you know, bailouts and all sorts of different things. They're much better at sort of disguising it, but it's all traceable. Well, it's not because the Saudis have some great passion for the Clinton initiative. It's not because the Saudis are really, really in support of philanthropy for AIDS in Africa, this sort of thing. It's because they are buying favor. They're not just buying favor. They are buying presidents and kings. And that's exactly what the prophecy says. It says the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They've sold their souls, if you will. Washington has climbed into bed with the devil. And there's actually a book out there written by a former CIA agent, Robert Baer, called Sleeping with the Devil. And it's amazing because he has no grid for my interpretation of Mystery Babylon, but it's one of the most prophetic books I've ever read in terms of the language that he uses throughout. So we can go back to Obama, we can go back to Jimmy Carter and his rampant anti-Semitism, you name it. The Saudis have bought Washington. This is one of the biggest issues that we need to be vigilant about with regard to the new administration, to pay attention to, say, the old status quo, the old relationships have to go. If Washington, if the swamps are going to be drained, they need to be drained now.
Yeah, amen. And that is one thing. I look at it at what's going on in more of a spiritual basis and a political basis, Joel. You know, I see all these people rioting and screaming, and you know, what you see is just really ungodly. I mean, these same people are screaming, well, there's nothing wrong with letting with radicals in and so on and so forth, but it's trying to stop what he's doing. And, you know, for the record, you know, he's been going down a list, doing just about it, trying to do everything that he said. So you're right. If we're to get our separation from them, it would need to be done now. I don't know that we'll get the chance.
Yeah, that's yet to be seen for sure. But yeah, I mean, there's no question, you know, you've got people who are raging, literally raging in the streets. And, you know, even Christians are sort of supporting the resistance, so to speak. And, you know, I've really come to believe, Pastor Dan, that when we look at Psalm 2, why do the nations rage? Why are they in an uproar against the Lord and against his Messiah? I'm convinced that on that day, that many of those people raging against the Lord, that they'll actually be people who name the name of Jesus, that they will actually claim to be Christians, and that they'll be filled with a sense of self-righteousness and righteous indignation. I really think what we're seeing right now is sort of the precursor to Psalm 2 and the rage of the nations. Because, yes, Donald Trump can be crude and all of these sort of things. I understand that. But what he's doing is he is stirring up the spiritual hornet's nest of hell. And the people are reacting. And, you know, it's painful to observe, but it's definitely a spiritual clash.
Yeah, amen. Nothing else. That is a great point that I've been trying to get out to the people, because that's how I look at it. You know, I look at everything like, people say, well, what's the cause of that? Well, it's usually with me, well, it's the devil, but okay, there's another one. But you know what I'm saying is, because I look at that, and I do see that, because these people are, look at their sputtering. I mean, you know, it's one thing to protest or, you know, to use free speech, but it is vulgar. And like the women identifying, how can these women identify them? Yeah, we're nasty women. Really? That's what you're going to identify with? Nasty women? And so to me, that is definitely spiritual, definitely of the devil. Back to you. We can go on.
Yeah, I mean, we're right in it. And, you know, again, I don't know. You know, I've seen some amazing positive signs. I've seen some negative signs. The other issue, of course, you and I have talked a lot about Turkey. I believe that Turkey will lead the coming beast coalition, the coalition of the Antichrist. I believe that will be led by a Turkish antichrist, not the current. I don't believe the current president is the antichrist, but I believe Turkey will be the leader. And so I'm definitely watching the way that the Trump administration relates to Turkey, and I'm watching the way they relate to Saudi Arabia. And it seems to be, so far, that they are tending to take the same kind of status quo, which is casting Iran as the greatest enemy of all, and right, relating to Saudi Arabia as our friend, as our ally, and to a degree, relating to Turkey as well. So, you know, we're definitely not out of the woods as the church. We need to continue to pray. And again, you know, the president doesn't need sycophantic yes men that just say everything he does is perfect. You know, that's not what we're doing here either.
No.
But we do need to realize that many of the things he's doing, again, you know, whether we like the container that it came in or not, he's fulfilling the prayers of the church. We've been crying out, say, Lord, you know, destroy abortion. And we really do have this man who in many ways has been a wrecking ball, and he's bringing about many of the things we've been praying for. So we need to acknowledge the hand of the Lord in this. But that doesn't mean that everything he does is perfect, and we need to be praying, saying, Lord, guide this administration, give them wisdom. And, you know, I believe there's many godly men in the administration. In fact, I actually...
Let me say this. You know, I honestly believe that Obama was allowed to become president for many different reasons. One, it's probably who part of this country deserved. But two, the thing that happened, I looked towards Israel and the Middle East, and to me, Obama caused the realignment of the peoples of the Middle East to be able to fulfill Bible prophecy. Amen. But it also brought us to the verge of what looked like a looming war that could be against Israel. So then we bring back Donald Trump and bring Trump into the picture. Well, I believe that he also has a part to play. I just haven't quite figured it out, but it is with Israel, and it may be to stall off that time because, you know, I just don't think it's ready yet. Is it ready yet for the final finale?
Well, there's definitely some things I believe that need to take place before, you know, the final 7 years. I think that we are going to see some major, I've talked about it before, some major regional wars. I think there's a very strong chance that Iran is going to invade the Middle East. I think there's going to be essentially a Turkish-Iranian war. So I do tend to think that there needs to be some major events that take place first. But, you know, tying in President Obama with the corrupting influence of the Saudis, before he got in, there were, you know, different rumors, and these are things I didn't really include it in the book because it wasn't something that could be solidly established.
Right.
But there were rumors that he had been groomed and funded and paid for in terms of his Ivy League education, because again, he was just a child of a single mother. Very, you know, she didn't have any money, and he went to an Ivy League college. I mean, this is a couple hundred thousand dollars. Well, where did the money come from? Why were so many of his documents secret? Why were they locked up? Was he funded and paid for? Was he, in many ways, a Manchurian candidate who had been groomed by the Saudis? And I think that there's some evidence to suggest that may very well have been what happened. And there's no question that when he got in, he began relating favorably to the Muslim Brotherhood, and he was seeking to overthrow the regional status quo, overthrow Mubarak, overthrow Gaddafi, and then he was going for Assad. He and Hillary with Benghazi, and of course, you know, Assad didn't go out as easy as the other guys, and it has led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. It's led to the global refugee crisis, to millions of refugees fleeing all over the Middle East and then pouring into Europe, and, you know, the biggest issue right on the table right now is the refugee crisis. And that really can be tied back to the colossal blunder of the past 8 years in the Middle East. But now it's up to this administration to try to deal with it. And again, as much as I appreciate Mr. Trump, I think I'm hoping that he relies primarily on the generals and some of the advisors that he's put into play, because as much as I love him, like I said, he does tend to be a bit of a wrecking ball. He's not always the smoothest operator, and I'm hoping that some of his generals sort of take the helm of the Middle East and are a little bit more seasoned in their approach.
Yeah, amen. I do believe, because looking at the man and looking at what he's done and what he said is that, and he did say, he didn't say that he had the answer for everything, except that he did have the answer, in meaning that he would appoint people that were the best in their field about what they were going to do, whether it's education, whether it's the Middle East, or, you know, and so on and so forth, and he would trust what they said. But here's something that I see that I wanted to ask you about. You know, now, of course, I believe you. It's there, and it's biblical, the Islamic Antichrist. So to me, it seems like Islam would have to gain greater power around the world. And so with the influx of some of these refugees in like Canada saying, well, we'll take all of them and so on and so forth. Isn't that kind of biblical itself, with it just spreading like that? And the people being acceptance of it, not wanting to save them, but in acceptance of Sharia law. Back to you.
Yeah, there's no question we're dealing with the perfect storm. You know, we have sort of this reverence for multiculturalism. All of the leftists are so quick to, you know, flaunt their how magnanimous they are. We just, you know, welcome refugees and this sort of thing. And the difficulty is that, you know, biblically, you know, there's so much throughout the scriptures that we're called to care for the needy, the poor, the afflicted. I mean, you thoroughly understand Amen. That. The problem is this current refugee crisis is different than just, you know, this is not just a, you know, a massive earthquake in Haiti that, you know, wipes out and people need help. We're dealing here with the people of which, of course, not all and not even the majority, but there's enough of a number who are indeed, you know, have a leaning toward terrorism. And really, I'll be honest with you, statistically, when you look at the number of refugees, even from Muslim countries that have come in, the number that have carried out terrorist attacks, yeah, relatively speaking, it's pretty low. The larger danger, however, is 10, 15, 20 years down the road, when not just refugees but immigrants then begin to multiply in the West, and we're, of course, not multiplying nearly as much, and you have significant societal problems. I mean, you know, you look at England, and that's just another example. They're 20 years ahead of us of runaway multiculturalism, welcome refugees. You had the town of Rotherham in England, just outside of, I believe it's Sheffield, and you had a town of about 250,000 people, and over about a 10-year period, late 1990s to 2013, little about 16-year period, you had close to 2,000. I mean, official statistics are about 1,400, but most people say it's closer to 2,000. 2,000 young girls, British girls, who were raped, gang raped, forced into prostitution, trafficked, all by overwhelmingly Pakistani Muslim gangs, Muslim men. And, you know, so to those Christians that have, you know, signed, all these Christian leaders that have said, no, we need to let all the immigrants in. Listen, I understand compassion. I understand all those things. But are your daughters an acceptable sacrifice? You know, is that truly loving? Because the bottom line is you can point to, you know, everybody can choose their statistics and say, well, there's not that many refugees that have killed people. Well, there's just a few refugees in the past few months that have carried out attacks in Minnesota and in Ohio State, jumping out of a car, screaming Allahu Akbar and trying to hack people up with machetes. You know, the reality is that some refugees have carried out attacks, but give it 10 to 15 years, we can look ahead. You know, we can look to England and Europe and say, this is our future. And is this what we as shepherds are willing to embrace? So, you know, it's a conundrum for followers of Jesus, because we do want to be compassionate, but we want to be wise. And that's not a very easy balance in this present wicked age.
Amen. Very profound words. Well, we kind of got off the subject, but not really. It is the subject. Joel, how long? This book just came out, right?
Just came out, and the reviews have already been, you know, really excellent. Another chapter that I think many will find very interesting is I get into the history of the city of Mecca. And, of course, Muslims say that the Kaaba, the shrine in that city, was actually built by Abraham and Ishmael. Well, I actually show that a far more likely history is that it was actually an ancient Middle Eastern Hindu shrine. It was a shrine that was filled with 360 idols. That's according to Islamic history. And I work through all of the various practices that Muslims embrace today, which are clearly holdovers from ancient paganism. Now, they have no history in biblical religion or practice. And so that's a real fascinating study to understand the pagan roots of Islam. And that's something that no Muslim really wants to face. We look to Rome as the great city of paganism, but, you know, friends, there is a city which is brazenly pagan in every way, shape, or form, and it's literally the single most visited spot in the entire world, that shrine, that idol, if you will, in the middle of Mecca. And you know, the West, we need to wake up to the relevance of this. That is the spiritual heart of the satanic kingdom right now, and it's affecting the whole earth.
Amen. Well, we've run out of time. Always good talking to you. I'm sure we'll talk again. Tell them where your website is, and I'll be in contact again.
All right. Always good being with you. Yeah, I'm at joelstrumpet.com. As I said, I've put up a new episode of The Underground every week, different teachings, and just a lot of helpful resources there. So always appreciate visiting with you, brother.
All right, you be blessed. We'll talk again. Goodbye and shalom to you. Bye-bye. Shalom. Well, folks, that was Joel Richardson, author of many, many books, but this one, Mystery Babylon, you got to get it, and the chapter on Mecca, all of it's great. We're not here to condemn anybody for believing in any different way, but just take and read the information, weigh it out for yourself, pray about it, and see if it's indeed true. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. I really got to get out of here, so please remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.